Let's pick up our Bibles. And let's turn to Luke chapter 11. And John chapter 11. Hallelujah. Help me, Lord. Luke chapter 11, and I'm going to begin to read from verse 30. And Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, and leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed on by the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and setting him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on tomorrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay you. I will repay thee. Which now these three thinketh, thou was a neighbor unto them that fell among the thieves. John chapter 11. In verse 37. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused this, that even this man should not have died? And Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave, and it was a cave, and a stone, and lay upon it. And Jesus said, take ye away the stone. And Martha and Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he has been dead 4 days. And Jesus said unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, that thou should see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I know that thou hearest me always, because of the people which stand by, I said it, and that they may believe that thou hast sent me. By the grace of God today, I want to preach about the experience of 2 men. Praise God. I'm going to touch base on 2 different areas today. This is something the Lord gave me. Might be the first time I ever really preached like this. But I feel as though there's a need. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, precious Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your spirit, your power, your greatness, your authority. We lift up the name of Jesus in a mighty and an awesome way today. And we pray, God, for your divine hand of anointing and the Spirit of God to engulf us today and minister to our hearts, our souls, and the depth of our minds today. And we will give you glory, honor, and truly, we will give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I think it's a very unique thing on how the Lord works in a person's life. Hallelujah. How the Lord works in a person's life. How it's amazing. It's amazing when we deal with his compassion and his love and his mercy and his grace. I think sometimes it's beyond human understanding how much grace and mercy that the Lord has. And I believe sometimes it is even sometimes a question to our own faith about the grace and mercy of God. Amen. Our own faith cannot even understand God's grace and his mercy, even though the Bible tells us that everyone has a measurement of faith. They have just enough faith to get saved, just enough faith to acknowledge that God is real. And then after we come to that experience, of course, after we go through a series of problems and situations in life, somehow it creates that hunger within our hearts that stimulates that faith that leads us to God. It amazes me where the Lord can bring us from. And it also amazes me where he can bring us from and where he can take us to. I think some of us today could honestly admit that if it wasn't for the Lord moving in our lives, we wouldn't be in the condition that we're in. Praise God. Because somewhere down the line, we know in our own personal lives that sin would have taken us out. That sin would not have given us the opportunity that God has given us. Praise God. Sin would not give us the opportunity that God has given us. Sin would not have provided the things that God has provided in our lives. Sin would have robbed us. Just like sin in the situation of the person being robbed going to Jericho. He was robbed. He went from Jerusalem to Jericho and he fell among thieves. I want you to reminisce and think about the thief that was in your life before you met the Lord. What would have stole and robbed you of life before you came to the Lord? I don't care if you've been in church all your life or not. You still stand in the midst of the world. And there are thieves that can rise up in your life. They can also steal from you. Sometimes people think that we reminisce too much in the past. But the Bible tells us that we need to remember. I feel as though we need to remember. Remembrance stimulates me to live for God. It stimulates me to live for the Lord. Because I remember what I was before the Lord found me. Praise God. I remember the direction that I was going before the Lord found me. I remember the condition that I was in before the Lord found me. I remember how going from one place to another or going through life that I was robbed, beat up and bruised by everyday life. And even religion couldn't save me because even religion came my way. Religion came some of your way. Amen. Some people have been baptized in every name but Jesus' name before they got here. They've been named the Father, Son, Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Father, Son, Holy Ghost and all kind of the ghost or whatever. They've been baptized in it. Praise God. They've been sprinkled. I've been sprinkled. We went through every type of situation. But religion did not have the power to save us. In fact, religion left us out there. Why does religion leave you out there? Because, you know, there's some things that religion can't do. You know, you ever notice sometimes that when certain people come around, I don't want to use their names, but when they want to proselytize or they want to win souls and they come to a person's house, they'll knock on the door. I mean, it could be the Mormons, it could be Jehovah's Witness, it could be anybody. But when they begin to proselytize, they come and knock on the door. And of course, you know, unfortunately, they're looking for people that have a certain status. You know what I couldn't understand? I couldn't understand why in the world did you leave my house? Why in the world did you come all the way to my house, leave the downtown area, to come to my house to talk to me when you could have talked to somebody that was sitting there on the street? But see, religion passed him by. Because in the sense of religion, he was not worthy for salvation. He was too deep in his situation. Am I right? So religion has a way of passing people by. Just excluding people. You know? Well, you can't make it. You don't have the possibility of making it. You don't meet the criteria. I would be ashamed to bring you to church. You're not dressed right. Amen. You got alcohol on your breath. Or this, that, and the other. Whatever the situation is, religion has a way of passing people by. Amen. In fact, religion many times does just like it did with the wounded individual. It moved on the other side. Moved on the other side. That's what religion does. Here, too, a priest did. They moved on the other side. Well, I can't deal with your kind. You know, I might get robbed. Somebody might beat me up. Somebody might jump on me. They might take what belongs to me. No one's willing to. Religion is not willing to take a chance on an individual that they feel as though it's not worth salvation. Oh. Then religion is not representing Jesus, is it? Hallelujah. Religion is not representing Jesus. Religion is representing its own social status. Religion is representing the things that they believe in and what they assume that salvation is all about. That's what religion, that's what it's all about. That's what religion does. So remember, remember the condition that you were in when Jesus came back. Sometimes we don't remember. Sometimes we have a tendency to forget. The priest passing by, the Levite passing by, everybody passed him by, moved on the other side. The Bible tells me that God is no respecter of persons. Hallelujah. He is no respecter of persons. But religion is. Religion is a respecter of persons. Dangerous. A religious spirit is dangerous, isn't it? A religious spirit is dangerous because a religious spirit is a respecter of persons. A religious spirit doesn't believe that God has the ability to save to the uttermost. It doesn't believe that. Everyone needs to be at a certain status. In other words, I came and knock on the door to talk to you, to persuade you. You know? I come to persuade you about what I believe. I didn't come to offer you anything. I come to offer you what we believe and our think tank and what we're all about. But I didn't come to really offer you anything that would have real substance to you. I offered you a society. You could be a part of our group. You can come in. You can be a member. Praise God. Like some people say, what do you have to do to be a member of this church? Well, you know what you got to do to be a member of this church? You got to repent. You got to be baptized in Jesus' name. You got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't have any membership cards. Hallelujah. Praise God. You don't have to sign nothing. You don't have to sign no contracts. Praise God. Hallelujah. We ain't holding people hostage. Amen. It's whosoever will. That's the will of God. Whosoever will. Now, of course, we do have to do everything in decency and in order. But decency and order has to follow the lead of the Holy Ghost. It has to be directed by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In order for you to be able to bring someone in here that has been wounded and left on the side of the road in the world. Because sometimes when we don't, see, you know why it's imperative that we save souls? Because we need to remember the condition that we were in when we came into the church. We need to remember. See, I remember. People say, well, how did the Lord give you the power to win so many souls? Because I remembered every soul that I went to. I remembered the condition that I was in. Praise God. I remembered my condition and how I was laying out there and how religion and everybody else had passed me by. Sometimes even your relatives pass you by. You ain't no good. You ain't worth a quarter. You'll never be anything in life. It's bad when you grow up and you live under that type of atmosphere where they tell you that you ain't no good. My goodness, man. Ain't that something? Isn't it amazing how your own father or your own mother could tell you that you're worthless? You're rejected from childhood? I didn't did anything yet. I haven't even arrived to my first accomplishment and I'm already a failure. Huh? And Jesus could raise you up and give you all the possibilities of heaven. Praise God. Give you all the possibilities of heaven. Plus, he'll give you heaven to go along with it. Praise God. Because it's not the will of God that anyone be broken. It's not the will of God that any of us be dismayed. Because we were all created in the image and likeness of God. Praise God. Even though Adam was actually the one created in the image and likeness of God, the Bible says later on that they were all created after the image and likeness of him because of the fact is he fell in sin. But see, you know what? God never forgets his purpose. He never forgets about the purpose and the reason that he made you. He made us all for a reason, for a purpose. And he made us all to fellowship and to have worship and praise before his throne. But you can't do that if you're laying on the side of a road and you're all beat up and religion has passed you by. Man, it's amazing what the world will do to you, right? Some folks don't believe it. Some folks are shooting for the stars. They're trying to get everything they can get. I mean, look. Y'all see the newspaper. You hear it on the news. Huh? I wouldn't want to be a celebrity in the world today. Huh? I wouldn't want to be a celebrity in the world today. I really wouldn't. You know? Because they leave them laying out all the time. All of them are left out there just laying around. Do you realize that people are laying around you all every day? Thank you. Folks that have been put and laid and put, placed on the side of the road. They have all the financial things that they need. They have all the physical things that they need. They have the status that they need. But they really don't have life. They've been rejected. The world's kicked them out. They've been rejected by their family. They've been rejected by someone that they care for. They've been rejected in their workplace. They've been rejected in life. Life has its way of rejecting you. It's not just the bum on the street that you see that's been rejected. The only difference between him and the person that you work with is that you see his situation physically. That's the only thing. You just see his physical situation. Huh? Some of them might have more joy than some of the people you work around. Huh? Because the people that you work around, some of them are depressed. They're thinking about committing suicide. Am I right? They're thinking about giving up life. But even the drunk on the street has more enjoyment in life than some of them do. Huh? Am I right? He has more enjoyment in life than some of them do. Even though he's wasting his life away, he looks bad. No one wants to get near him. He stinks. Am I right? His clothes are dirty. You take your children and you tell your children to walk over here. Be careful, he might grab you. We don't know what to do. Am I right? We do all kinds of things. But yet the people around us, we don't understand. We don't see their condition. In other words, what I'm trying to say is, God is no respecter of persons, but life in the world is no respecter of persons either. Life in the world is no respecter of persons either. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your name is. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you've accomplished. It doesn't matter what you can do. See, this is something that the church has to understand. This is something that we need to understand as a body, that we, how much we need the presence of God in our lives from day to day. Because actually, our own human accomplishments won't mean much. They won't mean anything, actually, because the Bible says that the world will pass away, and all the things that are related to the world will pass away. You know, it's like going. I mean, you take prominent people, and we get the history books, and we look at all these prominent people that have affected history. But it really doesn't matter, because some people know them and some people don't. Right? Some people know them and some people don't. You had to be an elite in the history books for everybody to know you. But just because everybody knew you and you was an elite in history books didn't mean that life didn't pass you by. Because many of the elites that we read about and many of the icons that the world worship every day. Am I right? Are broken. Are rejected. Have a need. Can't nobody tell me. Listen, let me tell you something. I'm going to get serious. Can't nobody tell me, whether they're in the flesh or in the spirit, that they don't need God. I don't believe it. It's not a person. not just in this building, but even on those streets that don't need God. I don't care whether they believe or don't believe. They need God. They need God. But sometimes the weight of it and the shame of it is that us that have God in our lives, we don't realize our own need for God. You know why we don't? Because we're not laying on the curb. The Lord didn't pass us by. It's just like what Sister said. You know, if they can see the blessings that God had placed in our lives. Huh? You know what some of our problems are? Now I'm going to tell you something. You know what some of our problems are in the church? We do not like to share. Am I right? Share. I don't want this salvation for myself. Praise God. Because it will not do any good for me for myself. Because then I become religious. I become religious when it becomes for myself. It's all about me and my family and how I feel about it. You know, we've heard the terminology. Well, they're not saved anyway. What they got to do with it? What's that got to do with it? They're not saved anyway. So we exclude them because they're not saved. We reject them because they're not saved. We discard them because they don't hold the same standards that we hold. Am I right? See, these are the things that religious people do. Exclude. Checklist. But see, a man and woman of God includes everyone. You know why? Because we realize one thing, that God has the power to change a life. God has the power. Do you realize that it's not one person in here that got one? Listen, I don't care how hard you are. I don't care where you come from. I don't care what you believe. I don't care what your parents did, what they didn't do. It's not one family in here, not one individual in here that God can't deal with your life. It's not one person in here that God can't get you to a bended knee. I'm going to tell you, God can bring you to a bended knee. He can bring you to a bended knee. Hallelujah. But you know what? I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you a wise thing. You want God to force your knee to bend now, because you don't want him to force your knee to bend later. Because if he forced your knee to bend later, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. It's too late then. It's too late then. It's too late. It's too late. See, you want God to force your knee to bow now. And when you get on your knees, you want to stay on your knees. Praise God. You want to stay there. It's important to understand. It's important to see. Hallelujah. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Compassion. Compassion is an emotion or feeling. How many people in here? Now I want you to question your own self. How many people in here have the Holy Ghost but have no compassion? Oh, got quiet. You know what compassion is part of? Understanding. Compassion. And understanding is patience. Am I right? Compassion. You feel. The Bible tells us that Jesus had compassion. You know, he went among the multitudes. He began to heal them. He didn't ask them who they were sleeping with. He didn't ask them had they sinned. He began to heal them. He began to touch them because he realized that the multitudes needed him. The multitudes needed him. So he went in the multitudes. He didn't ask them about their condition. He didn't ask them whether or not they prayed 15 times that day. He didn't ask them that. He just began to heal. And the Bible says that everyone that came into his presence, he healed them. He healed them. You know, I believe that's what the Lord wants to do today. But before he heals us physically, he wants to heal us spiritually. He wants to bring us to a place where we heal. The Lord is trying to move in a very unique way today, because this is the latter day. And he's looking for a latter day church that understands the things of God. But you know, here's the danger of the latter day church. The danger of the latter day church is that we might become too religious. Praise God. We might have become too religious. So what's God going to do? If we don't do the work of God, he'll raise up someone else to get it done. Praise God. He'll raise up someone else. That's all. And you know, the Lord can do more in 3 seconds than humanity can do in 20 years. Some people say, well, you know, Lord, it's going to take a time to, it's going to take you some time to go sweep through here and save souls and build another church. No, it won't take God no time. Huh? Remember what Elijah said when he was out there? He thought, you know, he was having problems with Jezebel, and he, you know, he thought he was the only one. Remember that? Said, man, you know, I'm the only one, God. I'm the last one left. That's it. I'm the only one out here serving you. And the Lord said, listen, there's 7,000. There's 7,000. Praise God. There's 7,000. God had already preserved. He's already preserved some now. His 7,000 have not been in need of Baal. 7,000. Don't think you're the only one. Amen. We're not the only ones. We have no corner on salvation. Praise God. United Pentecostal Church doesn't have a corner on salvation. I don't want nobody to hear that. I don't want nobody to preach that. United Pentecostal Church does not have a corner of salvation. God, it's the church of the living God. Praise God. We don't have a corner on it. Some people preach it like we got a corner on it. We're the only ones. We ain't the only ones. Praise God. They got Baptist churches that are getting the Holy Ghost and being baptized in Jesus' name. Praise God. Now, don't get me wrong. I ain't preaching against the organization. I'm preaching for the kingdom of God. That's what I'm preaching for, the kingdom of God. That's the important part. The kingdom of God. Not my kingdom. Not humanity's kingdom. Not an organization's kingdom. But the kingdom of God. Praise God. And once we can get in people's minds that God is only going to have one church, that one church will be successful. We'll go out and we'll start to find those that are laying on the curve of life and pick them up and bring them into the end. Praise God. Now, some people don't understand. And he said, look what he did to him. And he went to him and he bound his wounds. He helped the man. You know, sometimes in saving souls, you got to help people. You know how you help people? Sometimes it costs you some time. Sometimes it costs you some money. Oh, yes. Sometimes it costs you some money. Praise God. You might need to go buy them a bag of groceries. You might need to help them put shoes on their children's feet. Praise God. It costs you some money. It'll cost you some time. Help them to bind up their wounds. You know why? Because how can you minister to a man's spirit and you can't even help him take care of his own flesh? Huh? Man come to you and say, he tell me my family's hungry. And we say, well, we pray for you. No. What you talking about? Pray for the man. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. You take him a bag of groceries. Pray, talking about you're going to pray. We pray for you. You know why? We say that because I'm scared it's going to cost me something. Let me tell you something. Salvation costs Jesus everything. It doesn't matter what it costs me. Doesn't matter what it costs me to serve God. Hallelujah. You will never owe God. You will never owe God. Whatever you give God, he'll give you back tenfold. You will never owe him. And so some people say, well, you know, I couldn't help Brother Greg because I got my car note to pay. Got to pay your car note. I got to pay my bills. See, you see how caught up we are in everyday life? I got to pay my bills first, Brother Greg. I couldn't, you know, but that's a starving family there. They need some food. Huh? We afraid to step out on faith. Opportunity has knocked to bless God and to be blessed, but we mess it up because we're all caught up in the flesh because we got to pay our bills. I got to pay my bills. So I can't help him. But I told him I pray for him. Don't tell me that. Don't tell me you told a man you're going to pray for him and he's in need. And you didn't provide his need? Why? Why? Why didn't you provide his need? I don't understand that. I don't understand that. Because God takes so good care of us. Why? Why didn't you provide his need? Why? We always have excuses why we can't serve God. We all have excuses. Everyone has a power, and everyone has the power within them if you got the Holy Ghost to win a soul to God. Amen. And he poured in oil and wine, and he set him on his beast. He took him where he had to go. So when he set him on his beast, he traveled. He might have been traveling in the wrong direction, opposite of where he was going. Oh man, but I got to be. I need to go. That's what the devil said. I will exalt myself above the throne. Me, is what's important to me, is what I got to do. Huh? Leave the man on the curb. That's what religion does. Leave the man on the curb. That's what religion does. See, I'm challenging you. That's what religion does. Religion leaves him on the curb because of me. I might get robbed. Something might happen to me. I need to be in a certain place. But this guy, he took him. The Good Samaritan took the man, bound up his wounds. He probably used up his own provisions, his own oil, and everything that he needed. And he put the man on his beast and began to travel in the opposite direction that he was going. Oh, my goodness. Oh, help me, Lord. Help us. Because it's important that I get where I'm going. Ain't that how we feel? It's important that I get where I'm going. And a person tells you, let's say a woman calls some of these sisters in the housing area and says, I need somebody to help me. Could you come and pray for me? Could you come talk to me? Well, I got an appointment to make. I had to call you when I get back. Huh? Sometimes we're even afraid of the problems that we deal with. And am I right? Sometimes we are fearful of the problems. God would not allow you to be in a situation that he's not going to step his foot in. We need to be representatives for the Lord. We need to step in. We need to realize that there's too many people that are laying out here on the side of the road. Amen. And tomorrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence. And he took him and he set him on a beast and he brought him to an inn and to take care of him. Where's the inn? The inn is a church. And he departed tomorrow, and he departed tomorrow, and when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay you thee. What's the 2 pence? What's the 2 pence? The 2 pence in the church is salvation and healing. Amen. Salvation and healing. In the church, there's salvation and there's healing. He paid. See, Jesus paid for us. He paid for us. Took us to the inn and he paid for us with his own blood. And the 2 pence are salvation and healing. And the church says salvation and there's healing. There's spiritual healing. There's physical healing. There's financial healing. There's emotional healing. There's all types of healing that takes place in the body of Christ. And you know what? The Lord said that when we bring them in through our sacrifices, we also provide the 2 pence. But he promised us that when he comes back, he'll repay us. You know what our problem is? We're looking for payment now. That's the problem in the church. We're looking for payment now. Let me tell you something, y'all. I don't want my reward now. I don't want it. I don't want it if it's going to nullify the reward that I get in heaven. I don't want it. We want payment now. That's what the religious world wants. And that's why we go to places and we see preachers living in exclusive areas. Right? Where the saints can't even live. Even our preachers live in exclusive areas where saints can't live. Drive cars that saints can't drive. Put on suits that saints can't buy. Hallelujah. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not preaching against prosperity. You know? But you better be careful, because prosperity is a dangerous thing. And we can do all that, but the fear of it is, have they received their reward now? I want y'all to realize there's too many people laying out on the curb. You got people that you work with that are laying out there. If you think that you're too good to reach them, you're in trouble. Spiritually, you are in trouble. If you can't open up your heart to them, then that means that you don't have compassion, and you need to check whether or not you got the Holy Ghost. You know why? Because you can't feel them. You can't feel their need. Sometimes you know what our problem is? Sometimes instead of us feeling the needs of people, we become religious and we become too critical. And see, once criticism comes in, it severs and cuts down the possibility of reaching. Right? Because of why? When I criticize them, I see them differently. And by me criticizing them, I don't accept them. And so since I don't accept them, I don't believe God will accept them. But when I have compassion for them, in spite of what they are, I'll reach for them. And say, listen, God can work in your life. God can do something. I don't know how he's going to do it. But God will. Because you know why? I remember that someone reached for me. Because I might have been the same way. In the same condition. Oh man. What you saying, Brother Greg? Listen to me, y'all. You'll be repaid. The Lord will take care of you. We have needs from God. Am I right? It's not one of us in here that doesn't have a need. And as we deal with those needs, we want the Lord to provide those needs. There's not one person in here that doesn't need a miracle in their life. Look at Lazarus. Lazarus had died. You know the beautiful thing about it is that the Lord let Lazarus die. He let him die. Hallelujah. You know God is awesome. He let Lazarus die. He let him die. And not only did he let him die, he let him be in the grave for 4 days and begin to stink. I believe that the raising of Lazarus is the greatest miracle in the Bible. You know, they say, well, Jesus resurrected. Yeah, but Jesus didn't. Jesus resurrected on the third day. His body didn't decompose. Because if his body had decomposed, it would have ruined the sacrifice. But the greatest miracle that I see in the Bible that the Lord done was the raising of Lazarus, because his body was stinking. His body was decomposing. He was in a bad condition. That means that his soul was well in Hades. Am I right? His soul was well in Hades. Praise God. Sometimes our conditions are so far gone and so far beyond that it begins to stink. Our conditions are bad. Our circumstances are bad. The soul of the situation is far gone. And sometimes it appears to be unretrievable. Am I right? Because Lazarus was unretrievable in the flesh. Forget it. He was dead. You know, it wasn't like he had been dying a day or so, and maybe he was in one of them deep sleeps and pop out. You know, you had that back in the 1800s, right? Where all of a sudden they walk in, they thought the guy was dead, he's sitting up. Say, oh my goodness, you know, huh? Well, he wasn't in that. See, the Lord made sure that he was good and dead. Because his body was stinking, it was decomposing. And sometimes, you know, I'm going to tell you, you know, sometimes the Lord makes sure that your situation is good and dead, and that it's stinking and it's decomposed. And you need a miracle bad. But you forgot about it. You put it on the side because it's a dead issue. Am I right? God can't change this. Am I right? God can't change. Listen, every one of you have thought that in a situation that God cannot change it. Don't lie to yourself. You thought that it's unretrievable. God can't do anything about it. It's gone. It's impossible. Am I right? So we think those, we have those ideas. And we think those ideas. And of course, naturally, they had the same idea in Lazarus' situation. Because his soul was well in Hades and his body was stinking. And Mary, Martha, and them had good words. Well, I believe it, that in the final resurrection, he'll be there. Amen. We always have an alternative. Am I right? When it comes to your situation, we always have an alternative. God can't move in it anymore because it's a dead issue. And then all of a sudden, if you pray, and all of a sudden, the Lord comes to you in your prayer and he reminds you of that dead issue. You ever been that way? When God reminds you of that dead issue? And you start saying, well, Lord, you know, it's all right. I go to the next phase. Am I right? I go to the next phase, God. Like we're doing God a favor. Like we're doing God a favor. Huh? Here is God trying to move in your life, and all of a sudden we're telling God, I'll go to the next phase. It's all right. It's a dead issue. Like, in other words, I don't hold no feelings against you. Am I right? I'm not mad about it. And here's the Lord bringing the situation back to you, because now he's ready to move. Now he's ready to make a difference. Because that's when the Lord came. The Lord came to Lazarus when he was ready to make a difference. And disciples say, you know, disciples couldn't understand themselves. And when he got there, you know, he heard Mary and Martha and what they had to say and so on and so forth. They wept and cried and they did everything. And of course, they were supposed to do all that. But then the Bible says Jesus wept. Oh, powerful. Jesus wept. Do you realize that sometimes that you cause Jesus to cry because of your lack of faith in your situation? Do you realize that Jesus weeps because here you feel with the Holy Ghost, but yet you still can't believe that he can save from the uttermost? He weeps. Some of y'all got him in tears right now because of your lack of faith in a situation that you think is a dead issue. Huh? Listen to me. I want y'all to hear me. Y'all got the Lord weeping right now. Because that's why he wept, because of their lack of faith. He didn't weep because, see, people, now the religion would say, well, he wept because his friend died. He didn't have to weep because his friend would die, because he had all power. He still has all power. That scripture is not in the Bible to say that Jesus has changed his mind on how he designates his power. He still has all power. He still has it. Even in the midst of your dead issue, he still has all power. Even though you buried the hatchet, it's dead, and you thank God, and you told God it's all right. He still has all power. Amen. I threw that in for free. All power. And Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave, and it was a cave, and a stone lay there. And Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha and the sister of him that was dead saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he has been dead for 4 days. And Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? If you would believe. Now, I'm going to drive this home. Take away your think tank. Because your think tanks work against you. Your think tanks work against you. What I mean by your think tank, your logical position works against you. Stop trying to figure out how God's going to do it. Stop trying to figure out where he's going to do it and how he's going to do it. Get away from that. That hinders what God's trying to do. Because if you believe, you shall see the glory of God. Now, let me tell you something. Why am I emphasizing this? Because if you believe and you see the glory of God, it's going to take you to a new phase. It's going to take you to a greater height and a greater level in God. But as long as you got the think tank, and the think tank rules your life, you won't see God's glory. Now, what's the think tank? The think tank is that stone that lays before the grave. Because Jesus said, you move the stone. And God, listen, God is not going to do everything. There's some things that you have to do. And you have to move the stone of that think tank in order to see and experience the glory of God. As long as you put God in your own Pandora box, God cannot move effectively in your life the way he wants to move. He can't do it because he's wrapped up in your think tank. He's wrapped up in your logic. He's wrapped up in your feeble ideas. He's wrapped up in a God that only has power at a certain place at a certain time. God is as big to you as you allow him to be. It's your position and your dimension on how big God is to you. And sometimes what happens is, if you serve a small God, you get small things. If you serve a big God, you get big things. It doesn't matter whether you think he's small or he's big, he's still much larger and much greater than we can imagine. But your think tank is the stone that lays before the grave in your situation. Your think tank. Don't give me no... Hey, listen, y'all. I'm getting some looks here. Relax. I'm reading your mail. I'm reading your mail. You can't... Listen. I'm not reading your... The Holy Ghost is reading your mail. And when the Holy Ghost reads your mail, you know what it's good to? It's good to respond. It's good to respond. Because the Holy Ghost reading your mail. You know what I can't understand about people? People come into the house of God. God is doing everything in his power to bless them. And they still got their own train of thought. And Lord, I'll be thinking, man, my mother always told me a hard head makes it awfully soft back here. Hard, man. Stone. My good, you know, people, stone can't get through. I got it made up in my mind. You know, you might have it made up in your mind of going to hell too. Now, I ain't no hell fire brimstone preacher, but sometimes when you shut God out in such a way, that circumstance can turn on you. And that circumstance can turn your relationship with God. Amen. Listen, church. We need to win souls to God. And we need to allow God to move in our lives. That's right. We need to win souls and we need to allow God to move in our life. When God starts moving in your life, this place will not be able to hold the amount of souls that God will bring. Move your think tanks. Move your think tanks. Move your think tanks. Move it. You want something to happen? Move your think tank. Don't get caught on that situation. Don't get caught. Don't limit God. Don't limit God. Yes. Yeah. It might be a dead issue. It might be stinking. But God can bring it back. Listen, you know when the Lord brought back Lazarus? You know the first thing what he told him? He said, listen, give him something to eat. Because a man is sick or dead, he don't want nothing to eat. Give him some food. Let him sit there and eat. God wants, listen, the Lord wants the best for us. Sometimes we don't want the best for us because we won't move the stone, and we need to move the stone. Just being baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost is not enough. Stand. Sometimes I shouldn't just say filled with the Holy Ghost. I should say having the Holy Ghost. Because a person that's filled with the Holy Ghost is a fool for Christ. He'll believe anything. He'll believe anything. Hallelujah. I'm striving for that. He'll believe anything. If God and he'll believe anything. God said he'll believe it. In my mind, I'm striving that point. I believe God for every. I believe it. Because there was some situation in my life that I thought was irretrievable, and they stunk. And you know, sometimes when the stone is moved, sometimes you don't know how you move the stone. I don't think it was a small stone. I think it was a big stone. Sometimes you don't know how you move it. But in your mind and in your spirit and in your emotions, you find a way of getting it done. And God in return resurrects that situation in your life and turns something that was dead around, and he blesses you. We cannot just be people of the United Pentecostal Church. We got to be people of God. Am I making sense? Oh man, sometimes a label is a dangerous thing. Am I right? Sometimes a label is a dangerous thing. Oh, am I? I got a license, y'all. But I hold that license in fellowship. But the greatest church is God's church. And the greatest people are God's people. And I want everyone in here to have a wonderful and a great experience in God. And if you have a wonderful and great experience in God, you will be blessed. And you will be happy. And you will reach for others because you want them to have the same thing that you have. Not because you're living in a grudging situation. I'm tired of people come to church in a grudging situation. You know, it's bad when people got the Holy Ghost and hate to be in the house of God. Grudging. Grudging situation. That's why they can't get blessed. They can't get blessed because they're too busy trying to get out. Well, Father, I'm concerned if you're trying to get out, why'd you come in? That's my question. If you're trying to get out, why in the world you come in? Am I right? Praise God. Huh? Why'd you come in? Because I'm not in a hurry to get out. And I'm not just saying at this particular time. And I think that people should rest, because the Holy Ghost has given you rest. Rest in God. Stop resting in your occupation. Stop resting in life situations. Stop resting in the things around you. Remember, we're sanctified. We're supposed to be. Am I right? Separate. But you know, if you go to a religious church and you talk about sanctification, separation, people look on the outside. That counts too now. That counts. But you know, it's got to be on the inside. I can't help. I got to hurry up and get out of here. I got to hurry up and get in my car. I got something at home waiting on me. I can see if you got to go to work. I understand if you got to go to work. That's a responsibility. God expects you to be there. But you know, just to get out because you think you need to get out, there's something wrong with your spirit. Because I believe that anybody, everybody that got the Holy Ghost should rest in the house of God. In fact, we should get in here and say, "Whew, man, I'm glad I made it through this week. Thank you, Jesus, I'm here." We shouldn't have a problem getting the hour of prayer meeting. Everybody should want to pray. Oh, hallelujah. It's time for service already. I want to pray a little bit more. Oh man, come on. And then some people say there's more to life than just church. Well, there might be more to life than just church. But God is the giver of life. Amen. Now I got to get down the road. I got somewhere to go. I really do. I need to be there by 3 o'clock. But you know what? I ain't in no hurry. I'm not in a hurry. Because this is more important. Hallelujah. This is more important. I want to be saved. Hallelujah. I want to be saved. Hallelujah. And I just don't want to be saved just to go to heaven. I want to be saved in this life. Amen. And I want you to be saved in this life. Let's work on moving the stone. And let's think about our neighbors that need salvation. Amen. God has been good to us. Anybody here doesn't have food on their table? Raise your hand if you don't have any. Anybody here doesn't have clothes on their back? Does anybody in here not lack a roof over their head? A comfortable roof? We're blessed. Now some people might say, well yeah, but I still got to pay the rent. Oh, if you trust him, he'll pay it. He'll pay it. Amen. He'll pay it. Praise God. With every head bowed and every eyes closed, let's pray. Heavenly Father, precious Lord,